This is a Raspberry Pi. It's a fan favorite in the maker world, and it's the perfect device to build powerful IoT gadgets. In this episode, we'll take a look at Windows 10 IoT Core running on the Raspberry Pi, and how you can build IoT apps and hacks in C# with the universal Windows platform. My name is Nick Landry, and this is The Maker Show. Welcome back to The Maker Show. In this episode, we'll revisit a fan favorite, the Raspberry Pi. While many of you are probably familiar with the Raspberry Pi as Linux users, more specifically Raspbian, which is a flavor of Debian Linux tailored for the Pi, we'll actually use the next evolution of Windows, an operating system running today on more than 1.5 billion PCs, that's billion with a B, and learn how to build IoT gadgets. To recap quickly, the Raspberry Pi is a full single-board computer with a system on chip. It runs on a Broadcom quad-core 32-bit ARM V7 processor, except for the new Raspberry Pi 3, which runs on an ARM V8 64-bit processor. It was introduced about 4 years ago by the Raspberry Pi Foundation in the UK, and the goal was primarily for education to bring more computers in the classroom and teach kids about programming and computer science. The average cost is about $30 to $45 depending on where you buy it, and several models were introduced over the years, though in this video we're primarily interested in the Raspberry Pi models 2 and 3, since they're the ones that can run Windows 10 IoT Core. The default operating system on the Pi is Linux, or rather a flavor of Debian called Raspbian, although you can run other operating systems as you can see in this video. The Pi has a built-in HDMI port for video output, stereo sound, 4 USB ports, and built-in networking with Ethernet. The Model 3 even has built-in Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. On Linux, the Pi is fully programmable with languages like Python and others, including, of course, C# via the Mono framework, and you can do all sorts of stuff with the GPIO library, which now even supports interrupts. The Raspberry Pi 2 and 3 are fast and cheap, making them must-have boards for Pi enthusiasts and makers in general. The Raspberry Pi just took off in popularity, and with over 5 million units sold in the first 3 years, and many more since, this makes the Raspberry Pi Foundation the largest computer manufacturer in the UK. Just like hordes of makers fell in love with the Raspberry Pi, Microsoft also recognizes its potential for IoT scenarios. Last year, we released the first version of Windows 10 IoT Core. Windows 10 IoT Core is a dedicated SKU of Windows designed specifically for IoT scenarios. Now, I won't be covering how to install and configure Windows 10 IoT Core on a Raspberry Pi in this video. That was already covered by my colleague Kenny Spade in episode 5 of The Maker Show. If you're not familiar with the process, simply go watch the episode before you jump in the hands-on portion of this video. Let's talk about Windows a bit here, because Windows is one of our main IoT client platforms. Windows 10 is the convergence of all of our operating system development, including IoT and desktop. We've taken the best of desktop and phone and even Xbox with new devices like IoT and HoloLens and Surface Hub, and now with one version of Windows 10, we can have a final convergence with one core operating system, one app platform, and one store. Windows 10 supports a full range of devices from phones to tablets to laptops, even HoloLens, Xbox, and even those tiny IoT and maker devices like the Raspberry Pi 2 and 3, all running the same operating system, with a familiar experience, but tuned to each form factor. For example, you get the 10-foot experience on Xbox or Surface Hub to a device that's very close to your face like a phone, or a little further away like a tablet, or sitting in front of you like a desktop. And of course, there's even IoT devices that normally would not even have a screen. The key though is that each Windows experience is familiar, but not identical, because each device and experience is different. The Xbox experience is not going to be the same as the phone experience, and for IoT, you, the developer, have 100% complete control over the experience because there's no Windows shell. When it comes to building apps for Windows 10 devices, you get a unified API set, known as the Universal Windows Platform, or UWP, where you compile different binaries only for architectures like x86, x64, or ARM, and not for each device. In Windows 10, we have the Universal Windows Platform, which is the programming model that covers all of our Windows 10 devices, from screens and boardrooms to desktops, tablets, phones, Xbox, tiny IoT devices, and more. You can write a single application that provides maximum reach. You get a converged API where you write one universal app and target all Windows 10 editions. You can scale and get higher return on investment by selling the same app to all Windows 10 editions. And you also get to reuse your existing development skills thanks to support for multiple languages and multiple UI frameworks, all sitting on top of the same APIs. Part of the UWP is our programming model for IoT. Through that, you get low-level access to things like GPIO, PWM, SPI, I2C, and much more. So what devices can run Windows 10 IoT Core? Today, it's available on three boards. First, there's the Raspberry Pi 2 and 3, which is running on the Cortex A7 or A8 CPU architecture that we discussed earlier. There's also the Minoboard Max, which is running on top of an Intel-based architecture. This is essentially the guts of a tablet. The Minoboard Max is a little more expensive, but it's going to be a great board for this, and it can run Windows 10 IoT Core. Finally, there's the Dragon Board, which is essentially the guts of a phone. So that means it runs an architecture very similar to a smartphone based on Qualcomm Snapdragon CPU, and it's got support for Wi-Fi, Bluetooth LE, and also GPS. That gives you a nice range of devices to build hacks based on Windows 10 IoT Core, and of course, more of them will be added over time. We also support other Windows 10 IoT SKUs for mobile and larger systems, all of which support the same UWP programming model and binaries. Windows 10 IoT Core is what we'll use here. It's the UWP-only version of Windows. Windows 10 IoT Core Pro is a professional version of Windows 10 IoT Core for original equipment and device manufacturers. And it provides additional features, for example, like the ability to defer updates. Windows 10 IoT Mobile is the same as our phone SKU of Windows 10, but with IoT features unlocked. And Windows 10 IoT Enterprise is the same as our Enterprise SKU of Windows, but with also IoT features unlocked. This is pretty much the operating system that was formerly known as Windows Embedded. Additionally, we have other offerings like the .NET Micro Framework, its sister project Lilium, and also Windows Embedded Compact. But those are somewhat outside of the Windows 10 train. You can take everything you've learned here today and scale out to handheld devices or up to enterprise-grade devices using our other Windows 10 IoT SKUs. So let's take a better look at Windows 10 IoT Core. IoT Core is Windows, but without the desktop and the shell components. Instead, your app owns the user interface and the experience. Windows 10 IoT Core runs a single foreground app at a time, so you're not going to get any kind of multitasking switching here. However, you can create long-running background tasks which run concurrently with your app. If you've never dabbled in electronics before, there are a few concepts that can help you understand the different types of buses available to you as a developer. The SPI bus is a synchronous serial communication interface specification that is used for short distance communication, and it's primarily in embedded systems. You can use the windows.devices.spi namespace in your app to communicate with a device over SPI. I2C is a simple bidirectional two-wire serial data and serial clock buses for inter-integrated circuit control. You can use the windows.devices.i2c namespace in your app to communicate with a device over I2C. And then finally, there's the GPIO, which is what we're going to focus on today. GPIO is kind of like your do-it-yourself communication. Think of it like the good old RS-232. Of course, you're not going to need any kind of 9-pin RS-232 port on your computer here. Your computer can communicate with a Raspberry Pi using a serial over USB interface. When you build hacks on a Raspberry Pi, you'll want to have this diagram handy since the pins are not labeled on your board the same way they would be on an Arduino. And of course, be careful because sometimes the numbering of a pin doesn't necessarily match the numbering of the GPIO that's associated with it. For example, pin 29 is actually GPIO 5 and pin 31 is GPIO 6. But enough talk, let's jump in and build Hello Blinky, which is also known as the Maker Edition of Hello World. To get started with Windows 10 IoT Core development, you start at developer.microsoft.com/windows/IoT, or you can simply go to windowsondevices.com. This is where you'll find all the instructions on getting started, where you can download images, just go to the Getting Started button. But as I said, you can also watch episode 5 of The Maker Show to learn more about how we do this. Now, one thing you will definitely need is Visual Studio. If you don't have Visual Studio for this, you can simply go to visualstudio.com, and then here you will be able to download Visual Studio Community Edition 2015. You can actually use any version of Visual Studio 2015. It could be the Professional Edition, the Enterprise Edition. It doesn't really matter. The support is there in the free edition for community. As long as you're an independent startup, open source developer, mobile developer, as long as you're not basically qualified as enterprise, you can use Visual Studio 2015 Community Edition completely for free. Once you've installed Visual Studio, I've already done this on this computer, of course, you simply have to start it. And this is where we will build our application for Windows 10 IoT Core. Now you'll notice that on this computer, I have Enterprise Edition 2015. As I said, community is enough. It just happens that I have Enterprise on this one on my recording box, but on my Surface Pro 3, I actually have a community edition. Once you're in Visual Studio, you will simply go to File, New, Project. And then from there, let's select the folder where I actually want to deploy this. And you will create a new, in this case, we're going to choose C#, Visual C#, Windows, Universal. We will simply pick a standard blank app for this project, nothing too fancy. And let's simply call it Hello Blinky. You can accept. It will ask you for the minimum version and the target version. Make sure that you have 10.5.86 as the target version. This is the November update, the 15.11 update, which is basically the second major release of Windows 10 that was introduced last November. You can leave the minimum version to 10.240. Once you create this project, you will get a standard C# XAML project template that's created for you. You could actually deploy this directly on your machine, but of course right now the form is going to be completely empty. Now the first thing we want to do is make sure that we can tell the Universal Windows platform in our project here that we will be using some special extensions for IoT. Now 86% of the APIs in Windows are pretty much common across the entire Universal platform, but there are special extensions in the case of like mobile or IoT where we do need to specify that we want to use those extra classes, such as is the case, for example, with GPIO. So we're going to right click on our references here. We're going to say add reference. And then in the references, we're going to look at extensions. And at the bottom right here, you will notice that I have Windows desktop extensions, IoT extensions, mobile extensions. So I will pick the IoT extensions, but note that there's two versions here, one for 240, one for 586. So let's pick the version for 240. Make sure you click the checkbox. If you do not click the checkbox, if you just select the line and click OK, it does not get added to your project. Click the checkbox, then select OK. And now you should see the Windows IoT extensions for the UWP have been added to your project. From the Solution Explorer, simply navigate to the mainpage.xaml, and this is where you will see the XAML designer that's loaded for you. In this case, it's showing me a default 5-inch UI, of course, on a phone. I could say, show me the tablet version of this UI. It doesn't really matter here. It's simply to help you build scalable applications across different UIs using what we call adaptive UIs. So let's expand the XAML window here. Now, the goal of this project is going to be to have a simple toggle button, a button that can be pressed or unpressed. And the toggle button is going to match an LED that we have on the board here. In fact, let me show you quickly what our setup is going to be. So I'm going to fire up my camera here. And then what I have is, first of all, here I have a Raspberry Pi. I've put it inside of a nice little case so it can be protected. And I have a mouse dongle in here as well so that I can use it with a mouse. And then here I have a small breadboard. The breadboard that I use is actually just has a couple things on it right now. I basically have an LED right here. LEDs, as you know, will have a long leg and a short leg. Mine is a little bent here. So the long leg is where the current is going to flow in. And then we have a resistor that's right here to make sure that we don't burn our LED. Now, of course, we would just burn like maybe 5 cents, but it doesn't really matter. Then I have these two cables right here. And one is connected, they're both connected to the power bus, one on the power, the other one on the ground. So the white wire is basically going to be connected to our GPIO on the Raspberry Pi, and the black is going to be connected to our ground. But let's wait and see exactly what GPIO will be connecting to. So that's going to be our simple blinky LED setup. You've probably seen the same thing with Arduino before, but you know what? It's always important to go through the steps before you actually build any kind of project that's more elaborate, because you want to make sure that your tool chain is set up properly. Now back to Visual Studio here. Let's add our toggle button. So toggle button, and then the toggle button, let's close this. Not a great typist, I'm warning you. We'll name it toggle LED, and then we'll set a content in there, which is going to be called toggle LED. We'll set a font size. We want to make sure that it's easy to see on screen right here. There you go. Then let's throw in some padding equals 15, although we should probably be on multiples of 4. And then let's set our horizontal tab, horizontal alignment, center tab. These are great tricks inside of Visual Studio to basically quickly select attributes, properties, and code completion. So vertical alignment, center. Then we're gonna create two event handlers, one for checked and one for unchecked. So we'll say the checked event handler, and then you can immediately press tab again. It will automatically create the event handler for you called toggle LED checked. And then we're simply gonna do the same thing with unchecked. Whenever the button is unchecked, toggle LED, new event handler, toggle unchecked. There you go. Now at this point, what we can do is we can simply jump over to the code behind this project, and we should see that the two event handlers have been created for us. Now the first thing we'll need to do is to add a namespace, a using statement for the GPIO. So we'll come here to say using windows.devices.gpio. There we go. So now we'll be able to use all the GPIO classes in this project. And then we're going to create a function called initializeGPIO. But before we do, we should actually have a couple of constants and variables. So here we're going to say we're going to use a private constant, and that's going to be our GPIO pin. So the LED underscore pin equals 24. So this is pin 24. Whoop, I've got a typo here. Now it's important to note that the pin that we're using here is actually not the pin number, but the GPIO number. So you have to know the mapping between pins and actual GPIO number. For example, if we look at GPIO 24, we can see that GPIO 24 is actually going to be pin 18. So you can actually count the number of pins to be sure that you're going to connect it to the right thing. That's one way of doing it. Now the next variable we're going to need is a GPIO pin. So GPIO pin, this is part of the GPIO namespace that we've just added. We'll call it underscore pin. And this is going to be used to store the pin object that we're going to be using as part of our GPIO operations. Next, we need to create a initialize GPIO function. So private void initialize GPIO. And then initialize GPIO, the first thing we'll need is a controller equals GPIO controller dot get default. This is the default GPIO controller that we have on this device. Now, of course, if we were to run this code directly on a machine that doesn't have a GPIO controller, like this laptop, for example, where I'm recording this, then I would get a null. So here I can come and say, if the controller is not null, like this, then we can proceed. Else, we want to make sure that we're going to tell the user, like, hey, this doesn't have. So we'll simply call system.diagnostics.debug. Remember, we're not guaranteed that there's going to be a UI on this. So in this case, we are using a toggle button, of course. But in this case, we're simply going to add it and say target device has no GPIO controller. Okay, there we go. Now, once we're back here, what do we do with this? We first have to initialize our pin. So we say pin equals controller, and then we have to open the pin. Open the pin, and this is going to be opened with LED pin. Once we've opened the pin, that means we can now start using it. We do have to set a drive mode. Just like on an Arduino, you have to say if a pin is going to be used in input mode or output mode, because remember, this is general purpose input or output. Then we'll say that here, the pin.setDriveMode is going to be set to GPIO pin drive mode.output. And then once this is done, we're going to make sure that we have a low voltage value sent to the pin. So we'll just say we want to send a GPIO pin value dot low. Okay, and that's it. So now we've got our initialize function. Let's make sure that we call initialize GPIO here. So let's call it, and we're going to call it from the main page whenever it gets loaded. So at this point, we have the pin opened and it's set to the write mode. The final step, of course, is going to be to actually toggle the pin state whenever the toggle button is pressed or unpressed. So we turn it on when it's pressed and we turn it off when it's unpressed. So for this, we're going to add a little bit of code to our event handlers. So let's scroll down to our event handlers right here. And we're simply going to say, if the pin is not null, then we will say that we want to write to the pin, and we're going to write a GPIO pin value of hi. And then, same thing, what we're going to do here is, I got a little bit of a typo here. Okay, and then we'll simply copy the same code here because we're lazy, and we're going to paste it here. But of course, in this case, we're going to send a value of low in this code. So that's it. Our code is now complete. Now it's time to actually deploy this to the Raspberry Pi. So the first thing we should do, of course, is power up our Raspberry Pi. And to do this, we can either connect it to our computer or we can simply connect it to a power source. As long as the Raspberry Pi has an IP address, we'll be able to deploy to it via remote machine. So looking back at our project over here, What we're going to do is we're going to take these little jumper cables right here, and we're going to go and connect them. So now we can actually count the pins on the Raspberry Pi. So we know that the white cable is going to have to go on pin 18. So I can count, basically it's 18, so it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And there's a ground right next to it. So I'm going to come and connect this right here. So now that this is connected, my little project is almost ready to go. I need to apply some power to this and connect it to my computer. So what I'm going to do is come here and plug the power cable in the Raspberry Pi, and we're going to start booting it. Now I'm also going to go ahead and connect an HDMI port, basically an HDMI cable, connected to a monitor to make my job a little easier for debugging. You may or may not have a monitor handy for this. This isn't exactly required. There are all different techniques to actually get the IP address of your Raspberry Pi. So now that my Raspberry Pi has been booted, I can actually take a look directly on it, and I can see that my IP address is 192.168.133. Of course, if you don't have a monitor handy to actually connect to your Raspberry Pi, you might want to use a different technique for this. So what you'll want to do is go back to the main page for Windows 10 IoT Core, and under the Downloads section right here, you can actually get the IoT Core dashboard. So if you do not already have this on your machine, this was covered in episode 5. Back in Visual Studio, there's two things that we have to specify here. Is first of all, we're not going to be deploying to an x86 architecture, we'll be deploying to an ARM architecture, because the Raspberry Pi is based on the ARM V7 or V8, depending if you have a model 2 or 3. We're not going to deploy to a device, we're going to deploy to a remote machine. And then here, we have to supply the IP address that we know for our Raspberry Pi. So I'm going to select that, make sure you have the unencrypted protocol selected. And now we're ready to go. We can start deploying to our machine. Okay, and now the deployment has started. And then we can see on the monitor here, the application is starting. And then, of course, what we have is a very simple screen with a toggle LED in the middle. I can use my mouse to toggle the LED. And I can see that as I am clicking, the LED blinks on and off. So there you have it, Hello World, using C# in Visual Studio with Windows 10 IoT Core and the Universal Windows App Platform. I could do this all day. So let's stop our project here. Now, if you're interested in doing something a little more exciting, we will be revisiting Windows 10 IoT Core projects in future episodes of the Maker Show. In the meantime, you can simply navigate to Windows IoT. And then under the Explore section, you can come and learn about Windows 10 IoT Core. And then you can also come to the Projects section. And then from here, you can get access to multiple projects that are hosted on Hackster.io that people have created. And one of the best advice I can give you is start by recreating other projects that people have done before you start building your own. Another great learning resource would be to check out the IoT labs that we hosted at Build in San Francisco. All of the code labs are available online in GitHub, so you can simply navigate to aka.ms/codelabs, and then from there you will have Module 1, which is to learn about Windows 10 IoT Core on the Raspberry Pi 2 or 3. This is pretty much like the Hello World plus the Hello Blinky that we just did here, and also some experimentation with GPIO that we'll revisit later. Modules 2 and 3 are actually concurrent with each other. It's just that Module 2 is done without an actual device. So if you want to use Azure IoT without using an actual Raspberry Pi device, you would do it directly with a UWP app. Or you can do Module 3 if you do have Raspberry Pi device. So this way you can actually use Windows 10 IoT Core with Microsoft Azure to send data to the cloud. So again, you can get access to all of these Build 2016 code labs, plus all of the others on Xamarin and game development and data and many more at aka.ms/codelabs. As I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of projects available to try out, so simply go to windowsondevices.com for the main portal, or navigate to microsoft.hackster.io to see all the projects that have been powered by Windows 10 IoT Core and Microsoft technologies that are hosted on hackster.io. And you can also check out the entire Microsoft IoT GitHub repository for a lot more Windows IoT Core samples at github.com/msiot/samples. And finally, to learn more about all this, if you want to take a deep dive into a full-day course, actually more than a full-day course into the Internet of Things, I invite you to check out the Getting Started with the Internet of Things course on Microsoft Virtual Academy with Pete Brown, Tony Goodhue, and Matt Valesso. This is a great course that will take you step-by-step through the world of IoT, Windows 10 IoT Core, Azure Services for IoT, running Arduino wiring code, Node.js, Windows Remote Arduino. It's an excellent course. It will take you definitely much further than you have seen in this video, which was basically just a teaser to get you started. So there you have it. I hope you've enjoyed this introduction to programming UWP apps on the Raspberry Pi using Windows 10 IoT Core. To learn more, check out the links and resources in the show notes. Bookmark themakershow.io to browse past videos and stay up to date on new episodes of The Maker Show. You can follow me on Twitter at ActiveNick and make sure to also follow at The Maker Show. See you next time.